Okay, this morning we're talking about this topic, from the inside out, in the text that Stanley just read for us a moment ago, looking at how and understanding how sometimes the outside of things can be very deceiving. Okay, for instance, this young lady found out that though something may look good on the outside, okay, that the outside does not always reveal what's on the inside. So it may look good on the outside, but the inside can be full of rottenness. Okay? And so what we're looking at this morning is this idea of not judging a book by its cover. You've heard that lots of times, right? You've probably said it lots of times. Why? Because what's inside is what really matters. Okay? It's not so much on the outside, but what's on the inside. And that's our focus this morning. Looks, in other words, can be deceiving. I'm sure that some of you, probably lots of you, have seen this picture before, right? Do you know what this picture is of? What do you see in this picture? Most of you probably see a young lady with her face kind of turned to the side there, right? But if you look at it, there's also another picture in here. It's a picture of an older woman. Okay? So my point here is that when we look at things, our first glance, and we look at something, what we first see may not be the reality. Especially when we're talking about the difference between looking inside and looking outside. Jesus addressed this whole issue of looking on the inside or from the inside out with the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. Okay? They came and they accused Jesus' disciples of breaking tradition. To them, traditions were everything. And they were upset because Jesus' disciples were breaking the traditions that they held so dearly. What we want to do this morning is look at what did Jesus say about this idea of the inside out, okay? And the second thing is I want you to focus on is making sure that we understand what's really important here, okay? Traditions. Here's what their accusation was. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Now, I don't know about you, but most of us, as we were growing up, our mama used to always say, when we come to the table, do you wash your hands? Go wash your hands before you eat, right? Why? Because our mama wanted to make sure that we weren't eating dirt that we've been playing in, right? I mean, that's just a sanitary thing. You want to wash your hands before you eat because you don't want to be eating dirt. Okay? But you need to understand that was not really what this issue was all about. They were not concerned about the dirt on the hands as much as they were about the tradition that had been set up that had to do with the issue of cleanliness and uncleanliness before the Lord. In other words, the traditions basically said that in order for you to be clean when you approach the Lord, you've got to wash your hands before you eat. And if you don't, then you're not clean before the Lord. So they got upset because the disciples were not washing their hands before they ate. They're talking about ceremonially.
Yeah.
Okay? Not washing them to get the dirt off, but washing them ceremonially. Well, you know, here's one of the problems with that. They're focusing on the trivial things, and they were missing the Messiah.
Right.
Here they are standing with the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and their focus is on washing hands. See? When you get so focused on issues and traditions and things of that nature, it's so easy to miss God. So easy to miss Him. And that's exactly what they were doing. Jesus responded to them by saying this, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your traditions? In other words, they had allowed their traditions to supersede God's law. They had put their traditions above God's law. And they were requiring people to keep their traditions even though they themselves were not keeping them, okay, themselves. And not only that, but they weren't keeping God's law, okay? In other words, Jesus is basically, I think, saying this to them, your traditions have gotten in the way of God. They've come between you and God. They were not, their traditions were not serving the purpose of bringing them closer to God. If anything, they were separating them from God. So Jesus challenged them on their traditions. Why are you allowing your traditions to do that? And he specifically charges them with this. God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he that curses his father or mother should be put to death. But you say, now that's what God said, okay? You've got to honor your father and your mother. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and mother. In other words, their tradition said, yeah, you're supposed to take care of your father and mother, but if you take whatever you had decided you were going to give to your father and mother to take care of them, and you decide to give it to the Lord, then you are relieved of the obligation of taking care of your father and mother. That's not what God's law said, but that's what their tradition allowed them to do. Neglect their father and mother simply because they dedicated whatever they were going to use to take care of them to the Lord, so therefore they didn't have to take care of their father and mother. That's what traditions can allow you to do. Neglecting God's word in order to do what they wanted to do instead of what God wanted them to do. And that's what Jesus is calling them on. Okay? He further says, so for the sake of your tradition, you have made the word made void the word of God. In other words, you've taken it out of the way. You're holding your traditions as higher than God's word. What they needed to understand and what Jesus then follows this up with is talking about that this really is a matter of the heart. Okay? It all comes down to the heart. You can have all the traditions and you can follow all the rules you want to, but if your heart is not right, then you may as well not even be there. Notice what Jesus says. He goes to Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13, and he applies what Isaiah said there to these teachers of the law, these Pharisees. And notice what he says. You hypocrites, he calls them. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In other words, they're basically going through the motions. They're saying all the right things and they're doing all the right things, but they're not doing it from the heart. It is emptiness. It's emptiness. Whether you're talking about traditions or whether you're talking about following God's word, if you're not doing it from the heart, then it's emptiness. Because they were following, in a lot of ways, they were following God's word. They were doing the sacrifices and they were doing all those things they were supposed to do, but they weren't doing it from the heart. Notice this. Notice how that affected their worship of God. In vain, he says, they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In vain, they are worshiping him. Have you ever really thought about what that word means? Webster defines the word vain as marked by futility or ineffectualness. In other words, their worship had become futile. It was not effective any at all with their relationship with God. Why? Because they were following traditions and the commandments of men. and allowing those things to supersede God's law. And more importantly, because everything they were doing it for show, not from the heart. Jesus said, this is all a matter of the heart. If your heart is not in it, then you may as well not even be doing it. Now, brothers and sisters, we need to really stop and think. We've got to look at this really seriously about ourselves. So I'm going to ask you this question. Why are you here this morning? Okay? Why are you here? In other words, are you here because you have to be? Are you here because, well, it's the first day of the week, it's Sunday, and we're supposed to go to church? Well, if that's the only reason you're here, then you're missing the point. You see, the reason you should be here is because this is the place that God's people have come to worship Him. And that's what right now is all about, is coming together to worship God. Why do you do the things that you do in the name of the Lord? You do it because that's what you're supposed to do, or do you do it because you love God and you want to live in relationship with Him? In other words, where's your heart in the matter? If you're not doing it for the right reason, you're not doing it from the heart, then it's just like them. Whatever you're doing is vain. It's empty. It is futile. Why? Because God, more than anything else, He wants our heart. Okay? So it really is a heart matter. Let's talk about this part from the inside out. Okay? You ever noticed how our world is obsessed with the outside appearance? Okay? And so I keep seeing these commercials all the time on Peloton, the greatest workout machine in the world, or the Total Gym, or all these different. They want us to work out so that we have this body that just looks like a god or a goddess, right? And that's what the world is saying, because what? If you don't look right, then you don't fit in. So we buy the right clothes. We make sure we have the right hairdo. Make sure we have the right makeup on. And all these things are advertised and pushed, aren't they? All so that we make sure that what? We look good on the outside. Well, I know a lot of people that look really good on the outside, but their life is a mess on the inside. And that's really what this idea is about, inside out. It doesn't matter how good you look on the outside. If the inside isn't good, okay, then what good is the outside going to be? You see, we have certain standards of what the outside is supposed to look like, don't we? And we have certain ideas, and we're supposed to look this particular way, and anybody that doesn't look that way, well, we don't tend to pay them as much attention as we do those who look the way they're supposed to. If you're too large or you're too skinny, you don't fit in. If you're not the right color, or you're not the right, you don't have the right clothes on that says you've got the right amount of money, all of those exterior things that the world says, these are the things that matter. These are the things that determine whether you matter. And the reality is, from God's perspective, what matters is not what the outside looks like, but what the inside looks like. So you can fix up your hair however you want to. I personally take an awful lot of time in the morning to make sure mine is straight. Okay? But if you don't take care of the inside, then everything you do on the outside is futile. Okay? Because the inside is what matters. uncleanliness is determined by what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. Here's what Jesus goes on to say in this chapter, okay? He called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person." Remember that the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, were upset because the disciples were eating with unwashed hands. He says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" So the religious leaders got upset at what Jesus was saying. Again, they're missing the greatest opportunity. They've got the Messiah right there in front of them, and they're focused on unwashed hands. And then when Jesus points this out to them, they get upset about it.
Well,
he goes on to say this. "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goes into the body," or into the belly, "and is cast out into the draw. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man."
Wow.
"For out of the heart proceed," and look at this, "evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man."
Yes, sir.
"But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." That's not what makes a person unclean. What makes him unclean is from what comes out of the body. What comes out of the mouth. You want to find out what a person is made of? What are they really all about? Just listen to them talk for a few minutes.
Well,
you say, just listen to them talk. That's related to what we talked about last week about the toothpaste, remember? You know, the words that we say. Well, this is what he's talking about. What comes out of the mouth? We saw there that once it's out, you can't put it back in.
Yes.
Well, here Jesus is talking about even more and saying what comes out really is a picture of what that person, who that person really is. Because it's displaying what's really on the inside. That's what determines whether a person is clean or unclean before the Lord. It's what's in their heart, what's truly inside. In Matthew chapter 23, in what is described as the seven woes, where Jesus here is confronting the teachers of the law, the Pharisees and the scribes, those who were the religious leaders of his day, of the Jewish people, Jesus confronts them just head on. And here's a couple of the things that he says. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." And what Jesus is trying to get them to understand is they're the religious leaders, and they're going around and people are looking at them as, oh, look at how holy they are. Why? Because they wear all the proper robes and they look really religious. And he says, yeah, you look good on the outside, but inside you're full of extortion.
Well,
they're extorting people. The inside of the cup is full of dirt and sin. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites," he says. "You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean." Again, look really good on the outside, but what's the inside look like? Dead men's bones. Now, if you know anything at all about the laws, okay, as we were talking about in our Bible class this morning, anything about the laws will tell you that to handle or to touch a dead body, and even especially the bones of a dead person, would make someone totally and completely unclean before God.
Amen.
And Jesus is saying to these religious leaders, who were criticizing his disciples for eating with unwashed hands, with themselves being unclean. Because he said, you're just like inside, you're just like dead men's bones. You're a tomb that's full of dead men's bones. You look good on the outside, but the inside is dead. It's rotten. And it's unclean. Eating with unwashed hands doesn't make someone unclean. But having a heart that is rotten does. What is Matthew 15 really focusing on? What is it really all about? It's about the condition of our heart. And that's what Jesus is calling upon us to really look at. What is the condition of your heart before God? Goes back to the question I asked earlier that I really want to challenge you to think about. Why are you here? Say, what is the condition of your heart? From the inside out. Okay? From the inside out. What life looks like when you are madly in love with God. The inside is what makes all the difference. Think about that while we're singing this invitation song, which is a different song than what we normally use for an invitation song. It's one that we learned at Vacation Bible School, but it addresses this very topic. And so I told Tom, I want to use this as our invitation song. It's the song, From the Inside Out. Okay? And I want you to be thinking while we're singing this song, think about the words. What is it saying here? What is God looking at when He's looking at you? He's not looking at the outside. Okay? He's looking at the inside, at the condition of your heart. And what He wants is a heart that is set for Him. Now, as we're singing this song, and maybe as you're thinking about what we're talking about from the inside out, I hope that you'll examine your heart. And if there's someone here this morning and examining your heart, you say, well, you know, maybe I've got some heart problems that I need to get straightened out. And let us help you with that. Right? Let us help you with whatever the heart problems that you have are, so that you can have a heart that is right with God. If there's someone here this morning who has not yet given your life to Christ, you need to understand that you are lost in your sins. You're separated from God. But the great news is that you can be reconciled to Him right now, this morning. You can have your heart cleansed of the sin that is separating you from God. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you and clouding your heart. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. You don't have to wait for anything. All you got to do is come up and let me know. Ray is back in the back, and he'll be glad to meet with anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. And I'll be up front to receive. Jerry, you going to be up here with me? Okay, Jerry will be up here with me. And if we can serve you in any way, that's what we want to do during this time. Let's stand together and sing.